everything's pretty good. We're getting things taken care of and whatnot. So, hey, it's going. It's coming along.
Nice.
Like I say, and I told you before, by the end of this, well, I say end of this month, in about a month's time, I'll be leaving out for San Diego come beginning of July. So,
Really?
yeah.
What's in San Diego? Nice, nice one, Chris.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, that's awesome.
No, what's going on is no, I'm just it's more vacation than anything because
Oh, nice.
someone was asking me, was it Comic Con? But it's not Comic Con. I wouldn't mind going to Comic Con, but I'm going out there to have an R&R, and there's some friends out there that I know that hook
Yeah.
me up and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Nice. Are you flying out, driving out? What are you doing?
I'm actually flying out. I'm actually flying for the first time, you
Good.
know.
Wow, for the
And
first time. Good for you.
yes, and believe it or not, I've never gone to California before. This is my first time
Yeah,
going to
I've never been to California. I've flown, but never been to California.
Okay, well, see, this is all
Nice.
new things to me.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, I'm muted. Oh,
Yeah, no wonder. I'm like, I couldn't hear you. I'm like,
oh, yes.
okay, you're.
Wow.
Yeah, no, that's an awesome mask, though.
Oh, yeah.
That's great.
Okay, yes.
It's my idea of the Invisible Man, but it only half worked.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Shit. I apologize now. I didn't brush up on this, so.
What's the thing of this one?
Oh, like a side
Oh.
snapper. That's pretty creepy.
Jeez.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
I like it.
Side snapper. Yeah.
Side snapper.
I'm just happy to see everyone together and
Both them being happy.
yeah. So, and actually Jedi Grand Vel and I met through a mutual friend at G Fest, which
Oh,
I think you guys, Dr. Tar, Chris, I think you guys would what was your nickname before on last time, Chris?
Springy.
Springy? Springy.
Springy. You can call me Fuad for now.
Fuad. Fuad, okay. Fuad, there you go. Fuad Ramses,
Perfect.
Egyptian king.
Quad.
Fuad. Yeah, we met at G Fest. And yes. And we've been friends ever since. It was like, yeah,
We kind of hit it
yep.
off there at the end, yeah.
Oh,
Yeah.
yeah. Where's
Yeah.
G-Fest at?
Chicago.
In Chicago.
Chicago.
It's happening in a few weeks
Yeah.
in July. Yeah. It's grown to be a colossal convention. I mean, like last year they had what, 7,000 people or something like that. It's almost too big.
Tell me about it.
I remember like in the early days, the very first one I went to, there were a couple hundred people, and the dealer's room was in like one really tiny little room. It was kind of packed in, and then it kept on growing and growing. And then when it hit like 2,000, it was a really nice size convention because it was still quaint and still comfortable and very intimate and but good enough to get some attention. But now it's just colossal. Too
So.
big. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, back in the early days, you could when guests came, you didn't have to pay for the autographs. Like usually that was like they would get paid from part of the ticket sales, and you could just get things signed for free.
Okay.
And now you pay for the autograph and things like that. It's more like a traditional convention in those terms.
Actually, I don't see nothing wrong with it. I mean, you're paying to see the actors
No,
that
I don't
made
have a
it.
problem with
Yeah.
it. And the tickets were usually pretty cheap. I mean, I think the last time I paid for a ticket for an autograph, it might have been like $10 or something. It was still really cheap, compared to like what you find at conventions here in the States,
Yeah.
When I met Michael Biehn, I had to pay 60.
What? That's not too
But
bad.
I got a picture,
Sorry,
a
Michael Biehn, don't
signature,
like
and a
you that
selfie.
much. No, I
You got a picture and a
got all
selfie?
three. I got a
For
signature, a
$60, that's
picture, and a
not bad.
selfie. No, it
I
really
could do a
isn't.
Dr. Tarr photo bomb. That would be
I had to
if someone
meet
go up there.
Hicks.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious,
No,
man.
that's cool. What's your favorite Michael Biehn role?
Ooh,
That's a good question.
probably Hicks. Or
Okay.
no, I take that back. The Abyss when he went nuts.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if you know this, Fuad. I went to Chiller, the big convention in New Jersey, a couple, probably, well, that was over a decade ago. And I went there because it was the all three of the main suit actors were there. Hiro Nakajima and Ken Satsuma and Tom Kitagawa were all there. Plus, Miss Deborah Gibson and Hulk Hogan and Joel Hogson from MST3K. And then, And then, Smithereens played concert, free concert that night. And so, and the cast of Aliens was there. And I'm like, this is what a great convention, you know? So if I had, if Tiffany were there, I would have bought a copy of, was it Mega Piranha or whatever, Mega, the snake versus the Anaconda, whatever. I would have had them sign it. But I did see Hulk Hogan. And he said, "Hey, brother." So I got, that's pretty cool. And I got to talk with Joel Hoxson from MST. We talked a little bit about that and our favorite episodes. And then seeing all the three of the suit actors, which was really cool. But that night, the Smithereens were going to play a free concert, which I was very excited about. This is in New Jersey. So I'm sitting there, and I get a tap on my shoulder. It's Pat, the singer for the Smithereens. He like tapped me on the shoulder, like, "Hey," and he like walked by me. I'm like, "Oh, they're to walk onto the stage." I'm like, "Hey, that's pretty cool." And then while we're playing, my friend who's with
he
me,
he told me to get out of the way.
Yeah, get out of the way. My friend who's with me, he's like, "The cast of Aliens is right behind us." And I turn around, and it's Vasquez and who's the other heavy weapons?
Drake.
Bishop?
Mark,
no.
Drake.
Drake, yeah.
Yeah, Drake. There's Drake and Vasquez are right behind me. I'm like, "Holy fuck." I'm like, "Oh, my God." I go, "Hey, guys." And Drake goes, "Man, I love the Smithereens." I'm like, "Yeah, me too." I go, "This is awesome. A free concert." I'm like, "Holy crap. I'm hanging out with the crew of Aliens, and we're watching the Smithereens together." And Pat walked by, tapped me on the shoulder, like, "You just can't, I can't get much better than that."
I mean, when was this? I mean, this is like early 2000s.
It was like 2014 or something like that.
Oh, was it? Okay.
So yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a while ago.
Well, the guy that actually, I mean, you know, Michael Biehn was cool. He was, you know, I talked to him and he was real like receptive. But the one who actually I got to talk to for a while, and I only had to pay like $30 to like get a picture, was Michael Ironside. And he was really cool, like a really cool dude. Mm-hmm. Like very, he reminded me of Rod.
Oh, okay.
You mean Mr. C at the party, Victor?
I mean, he kind of looks like Rod now too, but that creeped me out. But, but yeah, he was very like knowledgeable of like old science. We talked about old science fiction novels and shit, and it was really cool.
Nice. It's nice when you had that. You kind of had that connection with someone. You know, could talk
well,
about
especially
something.
Someone who's always been really mean on the screen.
Yes, he does play a good guy.
What's the 3D sci-fi 80s Destruction Scanner? Of Jared Sin? Is that the one I'm thinking of? Where he plays like the over, what do they call him, the overdog. He's like this cybernetic whatever. It's like, but it's in 3D. Movies. So when they were starting to come out with the 3D movies again, early 80s.
Nothing beats Jaws 3D coming through the screen, man. I was
terrified. I watched that yesterday. It is such a terrible movie. I love it. I do.
Most 3D movies are pretty bad.
Yeah. Well, we did a whole episode on that, you know, called Bite Me Jaws, where we talked about them. I love watching Jaws 3D. It is a terrible movie, but I love it. I like, mm-hmm. You know, I have to be in the mood for it. But
look who you're talking to. Bad movies.
I know. Dr. Tarna, you know, we just celebrated 302 episodes of Unsane Radio. Movies. A lot of bad movies under the bridge, including episode 301, Don for Dean.
Did you know that May 25th marked 50 years since Jaws came out?
Are they going to bring it back in the theater for a brief?
I know they are at a few places down in Texas where Ben is. They're doing it at a lake where you sit in inner tubes.
That's nice. What I would like to do. That would be fun.
They should have hire actors to swim under there and like grab you and like poke you.
Yeah, I was going to say, then it'd be like the William Castle thing, you know?
Right,
you
exactly.
Or a party beach thing going on.
Yes, that would be awesome.
That's what they should show before. And then Jaws.
Right. Yeah.
So they have to sit through it.
Right.
You have to enjoy this.
I can't believe it's been
50 years. I like Horror Party Beach.
Oh, I do
too. So much dancing. It's so much bad dancing. But I took a lot of cues from that for Monster Party Beach. I mean, there's a reason why I called it Monster Party Beach. So,
oh, I'm sure.
But yeah,
what's party without dancing?
Exactly.
All right.
Yeah, it'd be like a White Soul train down there.
Yes, the zombie stomp.
Mm-hmm. So, all right, I'm going to hit a hit off of this as soon as it unclogs, and then we'll get going.
Okay.
Well, okay. I'll take the cue.
Wait a minute. We weren't recording before.
Oh, we're recording. We're just not live. I mean, this is all preamble. But we're not like, you know, recording the show.
I gotcha. No, that ain't no big deal.
Oh, you guys are committed now.
This will all still be part of the show, you know? Mm-hmm. So it'll all just be before I do the official introduction.
Right.
So I'm sorry. Were you guys like all big Godzilla aficionados?
Or? Save it for the podcast.
All right.
He says, save it.
All right.
No, I'm just going to talk about how awesome Angelus is and how he saves the day constantly.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to do my amazing intro, and then we will get right into it. And then, Dr. Tar, you can ask with that wonderful, most potent question. Okay, smoke him if you got him.
No, it's most potent.
I know, Jedi, we got to get you up here and get you into Michigan and get you loaded up with some cannabis, my friend.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Yes. 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 We are all three of us are smoking pot right now, so it's good.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Gosh. I need to join the party for sure.
I know. You need to welcome you to the club. Now, I remember Jedi at G-Fest. Well,
I'm sending you a virtual high. Sorry.
That's when you had your first cigar, right?
Yes, that was my very first one. Yes,
that's right. Yeah, we'll get you.
It turned out to be a blunt, so it's just like,
yeah, we'll get you set up with some good stuff.
Oh my goodness!
All right, well, here I go.
Okay.
This is JP Abood of Traveler and Among These Ashes, and you are listening to the Heavy Metal and Horror Podcast.
I am Montag, Master of Illusion. What goes up must come down, but not always. And you are watching and listening to Heavy Metal Horror. kitties, welcome to Heavy Metal Horror. Tonight we're going to be talking about Godzilla, and we got some special guests. You recognize Dr. Tar, yes, from Unsane Radio. Special guest, okay. Dr. Tar, who was here last time, and also Fuad, who was here before, the mask maker Fuad, and Jedi Grandvel, who you may also recognize from his own YouTube channel. Gentlemen, welcome to Heavy Metal Horror.
All right. Thank you for having me. This is a treat for me.
Well, why is your studio so much bigger?
That's right. Well, you know, that's how I get the big bucks. I put it into the entertainment value.
Mm-hmm.
Gadfly and Feather know about this.
Dr. Tar, you were asking questions of our new illustrious guest, Jedi Grandvel, and also Fuad. You were asking about them and their Godzilla fandom.
Yeah. Are you guys, I don't know. I don't consider myself super knowledgeable about it, but I know. Are you like into it, or have you been into it? Well, obvious if you went to G Fest, but I guess.
Well, personally, I've been into Godzilla since the mid-70s.
Me too. You know?
So I mean, I've been liking Godzilla since I could walk. So
yeah. That's okay. All right. That's all I need to know. That's because that's kind of like I am.
I was born in 1982, and as soon as I realized what Godzilla was, what I wanted to grow up to be.
Okay. Okay. All right.
I didn't care about growing up to be an astronaut. I wanted to grow up and be Godzilla.
Well, I wouldn't be the astronaut that had to be... long story, but anyway.
You wanted to be astronaut Glenn.
Yeah.
Yeah,
getting all the girls.
No shit.
Yeah, that's right. He gets all the women. That's the thing. That's right. He's like,
and she's hot too. Yeah. She's...
Yes. As Takarada would say, Horny Nick would call him Horny Nick, yes, when he was at G-Fest. Well, you know, we're going to start with this freewheeling discussion. We may keep it in the Showa era. And for you kids who've known nothing about Godzilla, we'll talk about that. Godzilla has different eras of films. Mm-hmm. And the first era is called the Showa film era, and this goes from 1954 to 1974, and it begins with the original Godzilla, or Gojira. I guess we'll start there. Gojira. This is a really, really dark and wonderful film. It's one of the best monster movies, I think, of all time, giant monster movies, and also really strong anti-war movie. It's a very, very powerful film, and if you've not seen it, you deserve
to see it. The very first time I've ever saw it, it was the one with Raymond Burr. It was the American version, King of Monsters.
Mm-hmm.
And now, in my defense, you know, being a little kid, that was the only thing you got to see at the time. Right. That's what was on. Mm-hmm. But anyway, as far as those things go, where they shoot American scenes and put into a movie like that, that really wasn't that bad. I mean, at least they made some kind of effort. You know what I mean? To blend it, they
had to create a story arc. Because you hear it from the aftermath, it's all a flashback,
right? But it doesn't seem so. Yeah, I don't know.
What was the purpose of even adding Raymond Burr into it?
For the American audience?
Yeah.
Any non-Japanese audience.
Yeah, when it was kids audience, yeah. You know, kind of.
Yeah, yeah.
And kind of dampen the atomic, you know, depression, you know.
Yeah,
the sadness and the seriousness. Yeah.
It's still a heavy film, but, you know, it keeps some of the elements. You know,
but it kind of diverts from the American.
Yes, it's not nearly dark and political as the Japanese.
9 years? 9 years later? It came out in 54, right?
54, yeah.
Right. Yeah. So 9 years after the bomb was dropped.
Right, yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, because it was really, really focusing on a couple things where the concept of these giant monsters, like the Beast from 20,000 Fathoms was out. But also there was, you know, all the hydrogen bomb tests were going on, the Bikini Atoll and those things. And, you know, a lot of radioactive fish and people getting sick. Mm-hmm. And so it was under these conditions that this concept.
And, it was popular. And he was looking to make some money here.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really well received too.
And remember this, you know, the lucky number 7, you know, involved itself in the nuclear testing. And that was the thing that got it ramped up to make the film in the first place. You know, I mean, it was true enough that they was going by just doing the symbol of saying, let's discuss a story where atomic, you know, testing is affecting human, you know, populace.
There's a couple of them like that. And I liked them all. What was it? H-Men?
Yeah,
kind of go through a fallout area and Matango, wasn't, you know, that was very,
yes, I love Matango.
Yes.
Wasn't there another one? I thought there was another one, but I could be wrong.
There's plenty of them. I mean, I think even them kind of explored that a little
bit.
The atomic radiation was the, like, instigator, the catalyst for all the stuff, you know, the giant Gila monster, 50s. Earth versus the spider, them, any of those, like, you know,
the giant... amazing colossal man.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the amazing colossal man was the precursor to the Hulk.
Yeah, yeah.
See, now, the gamma radiation.
Slightly better effects. That would have been cool.
Thing is about Godzilla that is different, at least in my eyes, is if you look at the, you know, them or the colossal man or any of those irradiated monsters, they don't have the malice that Godzilla had in the original. Sure. The intent. It seems like they were kind of just, I'm a giant bug wandering around doing what a giant bug would do.
Well, you know, I kind of disagree because I like him being cold and just animalistic. At first, you know, when you first, sure. All he does is just come out and literally they kind of did that in Shin Godzilla too, where he's just this,
but that's what I mean, there's a malice to him,
nature, though. Force of nature,
that's what I mean, like, there's something more intimidating and just, I don't know. I mean, it's not
even
like
before you see him, he wrecks boats. Like the first time you see a sign of Godzilla, it's the boiling water and the ship that gets, you know, blown up and everyone dying, you know, and that's all you see, the light, the sea boiling up and lighting up, you know, before even Godzilla makes any appearance on Odo Island.
Oh, and they have his roar, which is when you're a little kid, was probably one of the coolest things you ever heard.
It's still
and it's
cool.
Like you tried to tell your friends what that roar sounded like. And you can't yet.
Yep.
And then any other Japanese monster after that, that was like, what the fuck, Japan?
Well, let's be honest. I mean, Godzilla Raised Again was nothing more than an instant cash grab. And it came out after that.
Yeah.
Now, for those of you who don't know, I was on Jedi Granville's podcast just not too long ago, and we talked about Godzilla Raids Again. So, Jedi, while we're here, can you let everyone know, remind us what your podcast is?
Yes. Well, my podcast is nothing more than, you know, exploring different, and it's not just for kaiju or takasatsu films. It's like basically any topic that deals with, you know, film-related, field-related oldie films or current films today, but ones that are more potent to viewing, because let's be honest, the stuff that they have nowadays, you can rarely find a diamond in the rough. I mean, can you agree with me that some of the stuff that Hollywood is pelling out right now is pure shit?
Okay?
Most. I've been saying that way for a while.
Excuse me if I'm saying profane words, but
no, you can say shit, you can say fuck, you can say anything.
Thank you, because the fucking shit they put out.
There you go. You just can't say fucking shit. No.
Okay. Oh my God. But I know. I say, watch your words, sir.
No, it's good.
No, but my channel.
We're very cathartic.
Yes. But no, it's exactly. But no, it deals into basically the films of yesteryears, you know, the ones that actually had some meaning. You know, and like I say, one of them on the list is much of the Godzilla or Showa era films of the day, of those times, and anything takasatsu related, you know. And as I say, the films that we grew up on, I know for a fact they have more consistency and, you know, given a story focused on characters and what so. And like I say, some of them were instant crash grabs, like I mentioned about Godzilla Raised Again.
Let's talk about that. But before we do,
we all are, but that's okay.
What's the name of your channel, your podcast? What's that called? Yes. What's that channel called, Jedi? Your channel?
It's called Jedi Grand. Well, it's called Jedi Granville, but it's officially Jedi Granville Productions. So that's
all right. Excellent. We'll come back around. It's on YouTube. That's right. We'll come back around for all that, because Buwad has a business as well. Yes. Polaris Breach FX.
Yes.
I guess I'm also looking at this as I like the Godzilla stuff, obviously. You know, I sat there and watched them all, but I also associate all the other Toho movies that are not Godzilla movies. You know what I mean? The other sci-fi, I still kind of lump it all into this. And you know what I mean? Because my viewing experience with all of them was kind of happening at the same time, you know, like after God, you know, they kind of in their timeline or whatever, they kind of pull in some dubious strings, you know, like pulling in Etrigan and all that stuff. He's like, whatever.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, yes, I mean, exactly. I mean, you think about it. Godzilla was, I love Godzilla. I love it for what it is, but thankfully it led me to explore different aspects
the other stuff. It's pretty cool.
It was all monster movies for me, whether it was a Godzilla or a Mummy or Matango. You know, I knew by the names when I read as a kid in the TV guide, like, okay, that's really cool. I didn't know how many movies were out, but anytime that I saw I had a cool title or science fiction, or, you know, I'd read the, you know, scroll, I definitely would watch them. Attack the Mushroom People or Matango is still a freaky movie. It is still a really effective, creepy, low, slow burn movie. And
I'm sorry. I love the movie.
It scared me away from mushrooms. I have never willingly eaten a mushroom in my whole life.
That
movie scared me shitless.
You.
I know exactly. I know what will happen. Yeah, I remember Kenji Sahara was at G-Fest. He plays the guy that, and who's the criminal, the kind of the guy with has a tooth out.
Yes.
Great.
And you ordered him a mushroom pizza.
Well, no, wait. I asked him about that. I said, you know, that tooth, you know, I go, did you have a tooth? He goes, no, he went to the dentist and had it pulled for the movie because he thought the guy should have a tooth missing. And when he was done with the movie, he had it put back in. But I told him, I said, I saw Attack of the Mushroom People when I was 8 years old, 7 or 8. And I said, it scared me so bad that to this day, I've never eaten a mushroom. And he just laughed. But he just thought that was the funniest thing in the
really
world.
Frustrated me in that movie, though, when I was little, and it still does today, too. Scene where the first mushroom guy you see walking down the hall, and all of a sudden, you know, he opens up and everybody reacts, and all of a sudden they get to him and he just fades away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Like, where did they go?
They all weren't high yet on the mushroom. So,
yeah.
Or maybe were they because of all the
sporulating
spores and
spores?
I don't know. It was just frustrating to me. It was just, but I had there's a couple of, and then a lot of these movies, there's a couple of scenes that do that. As the logic is different than what I would, you know what I mean? There are specific logic.
Look, that's the thing about you got to realize with films is that film logic is completely different from real logic. And it's,
I get it. And then when you throw in that it's, you know, a different logic, and it's just, okay, whatever. Mm-hmm. But just saying.
Right. It's all good. Well, we can talk a little bit about Godzilla Raids Again because that's a very different feel. It came out a year later, and I believe Jedi Granville. Yeah, you mentioned it feels like a cash grab. It was done kind of quickly. Here we have a direct sequel to the events of the original Godzilla. And
is this supposed to be a different Godzilla or the same one?
It is.
It's a different Godzilla. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a whole species of Godzillasaurus, this kind of thing, you know, and so this other one shows up. I guess that explains why he looks a little different, you know, because the suit,
a little leaner.
It is a little leaner because you have more now. You have wrestling, and they had a year to perfect the suit a little bit. It was still pretty heavy.
And he's actually fighting another monster.
Yeah, we see first, another appearance. We have see Anguilas show up. That's his
Yes, Anguilas.
Yeah,
the Angerous punching bag.
There's all sorts of names.
Yeah. Jedi Granville and I had a good, really good talk about this movie. Yes. Quite thorough. And it's really
amazing.
That's a good
episode. Like I say, it's amazing how that film, as I say, well, just like the original Godzilla and this film, it's funny how 70 years have gone by since the iteration of those films. And you think to yourself, damn, it's been that long, you know? I mean, like, what's going to come next is going to be 70 years old, you know? But to me, this is, and I'm not trying to say it's that's the thing about it. It just makes me say, oh shit, I'm getting old.
Yes, we are getting old. Well, you got
the first time I saw is when like there's only the three channel. Well, no, we had cable. I remember that because this is on Channel 50 out of Detroit, but it was like during the election or something. And like you would not, all the other channels, like the main channel, CBS, all that stuff, was all political. You know, the election's happening, you know, so they're telling. 50 was one of the few channels that had like what they call it, the unconvention convention or whatever it was. But anyway, they were showing movies at a specific time. And Godzilla was like the first one that came up, you know, 1950. That's the first time I ever saw it. And it was just.
Oh, nice.
Just saying.
Oh, well, it's good.
No, I mean,
yeah. And I like Godzilla Raids Again. I didn't see that until I was in my 20s because that movie was never available. Then we heard, like, oh, there's a Gigantus, there's a, you know, fire monster. Because we always went from Godzilla. The next one we knew was Godzilla versus King Kong versus Godzilla, 62. You know, we didn't know that there was anything in between other than like Rodan and Mothra, you know.
What'd they call it here? Fire monsters? Or
Gigantus, the fire monster. So it was our mutual friend. Tim being.
Yeah, I was going to say. I was going to say that was a thing. I actually skipped over that one to go to King Kong versus Godzilla because, in a way, yeah, that was a whole different movie. But if you think about it, yeah, it is a different Godzilla because it's not the same one from the original. So in a way, it was. But like you, I didn't see it until early '90s. So
Yeah, the tone's a little lighter on Godzilla Raids Again. It's focusing more on a family. You see the business and the effects of Godzilla and the effects post-war. I mean, it's just an analogy for this is post-war life in Japan. So you really kind of get that. And that's what I like about it. There is a personal touch to the story that I thought that you didn't really get too much. Fuad?
Oh, yeah. No, it's a classic. I remember I didn't see it for a while because I didn't know it existed, like you said. But by then, I had already seen Angulus. Is that it? Mm-hmm. I always say it wrong.
Angulus.
I remember seeing him. By the time I saw that, he was already established in my head as Godzilla's ride or die. He would always show up and either be used as a weapon or at least deflect some blows, you know, and then get his ass kicked. And so when I went back to watch that
footage,
I was like, I thought he was his buddy.
What's the one where they talk?
That's Guy Gansworth.
Bubbles.
Yes, that has got to be the weirdest iteration I've ever seen.
I was gonna say the English dub one is probably
it's kind of bad. I mean, in the Japanese version, there's like, you know, there's still talking, but it's like monster screech. You know, you have no idea.
But yeah, it's like sounds like.
Someone's scraping a pan.
Yes,
you know, yeah. But yes, well, but I one of my favorites is the next one, 1962's King Kong versus Godzilla. I absolutely love this movie because it is, you know, so many different things. First, it went to widescreen and it's in color. They intentionally use humor. I mean, the Kong suit is ridiculous. I mean, there's so many things, but it's still one of my favorites of the whole series because I've watched it so many times. Yeah, yeah, I just like it. I like the tone.
I did when I was little. I did not like it.
Really?
Well, I thought it'd be really cool, King Kong and Godzilla. Yeah, but when I was little, I thought Kong looked stupid as shit. And it was just like, oh, come on, you can do a little better on Kong. Come on. You know, like when he's like beating his chest and it's like that half arm thing. Come on. And I love those effects, but they've never did Kong right. I don't care what movie they did. They've never done Kong right. But
did him dirty.
But I like the movie. I like the original version of it better in Japanese and stuff. The humor comes through so much better, that, you know. Then I like the music better too with the original score.
Yeah, I would say if you're talking about Kongs that actually look good, I thought Rick Baker's Kong was kind of fantastic for what it was. Yes. Because of the human eyes.
And you know, that's Rick Baker in that that costume, right?
Yeah, yep. Yeah.
What was that? King Kong Returns?
No, that was
just King Kong 76. Yeah.
76. Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. I saw that as a little kid, and I was all hyped up to see that robot.
Yeah, I was excited about it. I could tell the bad sets and the bad lighting. Even as a kid, I'm like, I was 9. I'm like, oh Jesus, this looks ugly. You know? But I get it. You know, I have a hard time watching Kong just because I know what happens at the end. And here, I like the way Peter Jackson's film like shows this. He's just a big intelligent creature who's just in the wrong environment. And I don't like that he has to pay for it with his life, you know? And
that's why they made Mighty Joe Young.
Yeah. And that's another tearjerker, that and Son of Kong.
I like the Ray Harrelson one that I really like.
So when
one.
you first saw Godzilla versus Kong, who were you rooting for?
Okay. Godzilla. For sure.
Me too.
You know? Yeah.
Well, you know, I didn't care, but you knew the logically it would be Godzilla kicking his ass, and it was just
you know, as a kid, I didn't know there was like there's this continuity, there's this stories, there's this order. You know, it was just like I went back and forth between watching a movie like Son of Godzilla or where Godzilla is like the good guy, and then like watch Mothra versus Godzilla or Godzilla the original Gojira. I'm like, why is Godzilla mean here? Why is he bad here when he's clearly, you know, he's almost as good as Gamera in this movie. You know, I could never figure that out.
In this one he's kind of mean, and he looked crocodile look.
Yeah, very reptilian. Yeah. Crocodilian is a good way because he also changes a lot in Mothra versus Godzilla. The suit goes through another
clapping when he does thinks he's doing good.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of silliness, but the wrestling element is what I love. I love that much. Yeah. Sure. And there's that, and the humor, even in the fighting, when Godzilla and breathes fire, like on Kong's, like on his dick. And he's like looking down like, hey, you know, like, my junk, you burn my junk.
And that's, like, and that's where that, those arm extensions look so stupid. It's like, he's like patting at it. That's
those were so annoying in my mind. You know, I'm just like, I'm looking at that. It's like, I know in real life, the appendages of arms.
Yeah. And I really want to like it too.
But just, God, dude. I mean, you could just tell, like, dude, I mean, are these going anywhere?
Yes.
Oh, and they give him a superpower too, you know, like where he could soak up electricity.
Yeah, the electrical charge. Yep,
electrical Kong.
Which I thought was always very weird.
Okay, that's convenient. You
know?
Okay,
yeah. Whatever. But I mean, I love the Soma, the juice. When I watched the fight with the octopus, I just feel bad that the octopus was being forced to fight him.
They ate it afterwards.
And they ate him afterwards, right. I know.
Oh, yeah. He didn't want any of that.
No, they're intelligent. They're intelligent aliens.
Taking up with the union.
But there's something about this movie it's one of those, like, it's comfort food to me. You know, I have it on my sleepy time.
Oh, yeah, it's fun.
On my sleepy time playlist, where I hear that music and I just hear, you know, the beginning. When I look at the sets on the American box, all the UN stuff, it's so cheesy. It's like,
pass it out on the third.
Here's a folded flag. We didn't even take time to, like, iron out the wrinkles. We're just going to tack it to a board and go. You know, the sets are so cheap. It's so, you know, the American.
You're talking about the American.
The American version, yes. Like, which I love, you know.
You know, and I've also noticed, you have to see a really good print of that too. You're right. The American version is like the blue screen, really, all the defects really pop out. You know, you see double shot. Yeah. But you see a really nice cleaned up, you know, actual copy of it. It's, it looks a lot better. I mean, it looks a lot better than what I.
That's funny that you say that is it's like a comfort food because there's a Godzilla movie that's also one of my, like, comfy, sleepy time, and it's Godzilla versus, what was his name? The sea monster.
Ibra.
Oh, Ibra?
Ibra. Yeah. That one.
I like that one. Fun.
Yeah. No, I get it.
A lot of people don't like that one. They just, But that was
supposed
to be
awesome
a Kong
rock
movie.
And roll music and that dance.
Yes.
Roll,
fantastic.
Dance guitar.
The dancing in the beginning. And.
Bam, bam, bam.
Actually, I was thinking with the volleyball sequence was something that would distract me. I sure like that part, you know.
I do too. And it's just, you knew that was supposed to be a King Kong movie.
Yes, that was the thing. It was originally,
and that explains what all the Godzilla silly stuff, that waking up in the cave and the electricity. You know, all that stuff.
And then we have that scene where it's like some love interest between
Godzilla. Oh, yeah. They suggest.
I didn't know it was supposed to be Kong.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was supposed to be Kong.
It was written for that. Then they just decided not to do it. Yeah.
Had they gone that route, I wonder would they change the tone of the picture? I don't know. I mean, we can never say.
Well, I think it would have been kind of cool. But, you know,
Kong
just didn't make it. They would have come up with another shitty suit.
Well,
Kong Escapes.
Now I was going to say, which one do you think is more shittier than the other one? In the
I don't know. I, for whatever reason, I like King Kong Escapes better than I do.
Kong,
you know, and I don't know why. They're both goofy.
Yeah, there's something about the face though in the Godzilla versus Kong one that it just makes me cackle.
They've got these weird conical heads that are just
Looks like he's smiling the whole time.
King Kong Escapes his big old googly eyes, especially when he like flutters his eyelids, you know, like when he wakes. That's so awesome.
And you get Mechanic Kong.
Oh yes, it was awesome. I think I liked it. I think that was the first one I saw on a big screen. That's my first giant monster movie on a big screen, I think.
Really?
Oh, really? I think my first one was Godzilla 2000.
Mine as well.
That was the first time I saw it. Other than going to G-Fest, like, but you know, G-Fest was projecting, you know, DVDs. That was probably, yeah, it was probably maybe the first time on a big screen that I might have seen a Godzilla movie at G-Fest. But like, as far as released in the theaters in the States, you know, I didn't, like, back in the late 70s, I remember Godzilla versus Megalon came to the drive-in. It was on a double bill with something else, you know. I remember when they came out, but I just never went to go see them. So,
because I know when you mentioned drive-in, my first iteration of seeing a Godzilla film on the big screen was a drive-in, and that was Godzilla versus Gigan, but it was called at that time Godzilla on Monster Island. You know, it was retitled that.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
So, but and that was the late 70s, and like I say, it was a real treat, you know, because you seeing Godzilla literally bleed to death, you know, being get.
Oh my God, is that the one where? What is it? Anguirus gets buzzsawed by
yes in the nose. Yeah. Like, dude, goodness
the
gracious!
Bloodshot, oh money shot it's right in the camera.
G, and then it's pretty weird. It's like, oh my God,
yeah, it's an Anguirus money shot.
That is a money shot.
Yeah, it's traumatizing.
Absolutely,
because that was cut from the TV versions as a kid, and I was much later in life, probably my 20s, when I first saw the uncut version with the blood gush, and the same thing with Terror Mechagodzilla. When you actually see the one with like the nudity,
it hits the lens though too. It's like
yeah, and the Terror Mechagodzilla, they cut out that whole scene because you have the android, but it's a female android, so she's got, you know, she's nude, and they cut that part. And then I saw that, I'm like, oh my God, that's I had never seen that part either. So it was kind of cool.
Even
to, like,
their TV shows, these are little kid shows that. Has some gory stuff. I, you know, I mean, just yeah.
It's monster blood. 60s,
70s, huh? Mm-hmm.
Well, they say it's pretend, so that's why I say it's not so bad. I mean, if you see something getting gored out of their minds, it's like it's okay. The kids can handle this. Like, oh,
yeah, right. It's monster violence. We all turned out.
We'll just change the color of the blood to blue. It'll be fine.
I mean, you could say, look, if
you camera.
Look, if you can remember the original Johnny Quest cartoons.
Oh yeah.
They were literally like
they were brutal. That was like
I love Johnny Quest.
I love Johnny Quest. That was my thing when I was little. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love that Mummy. The Mummy one was awesome. Yes. You know, yeah. And it's such a great show. It's such
I
a
like
very
the
cool
Invisible
show.
Monster one. And the spider. The
mechanical spider one is really cool. Yeah, it's such a great show. Not the next Godzilla movie, 1964, Mothra versus Godzilla.
Yes.
Which some regard as like one of the most beautiful of the Godzilla films. So there is some beautiful cinematography in this one. This too is another favorite. This is also on my sleepy time list. It has my absolute favorite shot of all Godzilla movies. The opening, you see this like tempest coming through, a big storm is coming through, and the next shot you see this kind of like shot that pans to the left, and you see these huge a line of these big like yellow pumping water out from this flooded area. But it's a gorgeous looking set. I mean, you could tell it's a model, but it's a beautiful model, and like it just makes you feel all secure. Like, okay,
it's a model, but not as much.
I'm gonna be all right. Everything is this in the world is perfect and beautiful, and I can just relax. So there's something about this movie. But again, it's also another serious movie where Godzilla is still a villain in this one. Godzilla is the bad guy in this fourth Godzilla film. And at this one,
say in the subtitle when he's attacking, you know, the radioactive monster. Godzilla is attacked.
And this one, unlike King Kong versus Godzilla, went back to a more serious tone. This one doesn't have the humor that the third one does. I mean, there are a couple funny lines, like kind of, you know, cute lines, but it's not yuck yuck laughs or, you know, continual theme. So, but the suit is also different too. It has these big eyebrows. You know, we've lost that conical. Crocodilian look, but anyway, what do you guys think? Mothra versus Godzilla?
I mean, I personally enjoy it. I mean, because I know when I first saw it, you know, this is back when my teens, and this is at a time where I was starting to get more, you know, with the films, because, you know, this is when we had cable and TNT was running these things like nonstop at the time. But yeah, the look of Godzilla in there, and then when he makes his appearance, I love it. this. I don't think anyone's done it before until this, showing him coming from underground. Because when you see it, it happens like, okay, what's going on? You see some rumbling, and then all of a sudden, tail pops up, and it's like, what the hell? It's like, oh, because I've been, because in my mind, it's like, where's Godzilla? He's not around. He's not even in the picture yet. Then all of a sudden, here's the tail, and then he dresses, rises up like one of the zombies in the movies, and just comes out. And like I say, he's, and like I've heard that Nakajima said this is probably one of his more prominent roles as Godzilla, because the way he really acts and everything and everything. So.
Is this the one where they?
Go ahead.
They filmed like American scenes,
mm-hmm.
Yes. Like with rockets.
The
suit caught on fire.
A couple times the suit catches on fire. Yeah, a couple of those hit. I don't know if it was intentional or not. I can't tell if something got spilled on it.
No, I think that was what you call a happy accident. That's
okay.
Yes. Well,
yeah. Yeah.
No. Just add on to a question about that. Yeah, the missile sequence, that was totally for international audience. It was not done for Japanese audiences. For some, and I was kind of like, why isn't that in the Japanese cut? Because it's like, this is a good.
Or even a nice print of it. You know, I would like to see the scenes. That'd be, because they were good. I remember them being pretty good. It wasn't like.
Hey, what can you say?
Yeah. Damn it. Toho.
I know, right?
Well, this one was always a classic. I always got this one and Mothra mixed up because, well, they're both giant moths.
Mm-hmm.
But which one's the one where he makes his cocoon on the big radio tower?
That's Mothra.
That's Mothra.
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 Right.
Okay.
And remember, Mothra is, well, and you know what? Not to discredit you, because you know you could call her him, but that's what they were saying.
She's a female.
There's a female, but if you think about it, some years later, the sex of Mothra does change later on, but we won't get into all that.
She's hermaphroditic.
Yeah, because when we how we see Mothra in Mothra versus Godzilla is where we see that egg. Is, you know, it's the egg. That's Happy Enterprises. Right. They want to take it. They put it under the big greenhouse. You know,
that's right.
People can.
Oh, come I and did pay like a premium the scene price. Where the fishermen go out
when and they grab it
go out to investigate. Yes. That
the gods will protect you.
Yeah, I do like that scene though when they're rowing out there. That's mm-hmm. really good.
Yeah, a little tiny models. You can see the models. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I like the amount of how much the egg is worth, like 933,038 yen. How do you get that number? It's quite simple. Like, how are you going to get 38 on an evenly numbered? That didn't make any sense.
I mean, if you adjust that for inflation, I'm pretty sure that's going to be in the billions for sure.
Yes. Yes. But
but as I say again,
I'm assuming this is free range too. So.
Oh god.
But also in 1964, Toho brought out Ghidorah, the three-headed monster, where we are introduced to Ghidorah, the three-headed monster.
Yes.
Now, this one is one of my lesser liked entries. I've never really liked the movie that much, and maybe because I just need to give it a try and just pay attention to it.
No, it was just more my introduction to Ghidorah.
Yeah, and there are other movies with Ghidorah that are better.
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. Oh, I agree. But, you know, at the time when I was watching these things, they weren't on all the time all together. So, you mm-hmm. saw one here and one here. And, you know, you saw them out of order. But what's kind of cool is that you started kind of connecting this universe mm-hmm. together. I mean, I don't know if that was intentional at the time when they're making these things, but you kind of do that.
Well, they started the continuity with Godzilla. Yeah. Like, once the second one was there, you know, Godzilla raids again.
You're right.
Ends,
you're
ends
right.
In an iceberg, and then he opens up in Kong, and then he swims out at the end of Kong, and then ends up in another part of Japan under the ground. So, you know, there's or where right. wherever it was, the flood was washed him ashore or something. You know, but
So
I think they were working
saying,
that. Yeah, because
the context all this.
Because they kept the Mothra legacy and the fairies and the Mothra song, because Mothra came out earlier. That was an earlier film, and also Rodan had came out as well, which I think is like one of the best kaiju movies ever made.
Yeah,
Rodan.
Oh, Rodan's fantastic. I love that movie.
It's a sad tale, that one.
Yeah, the end still gets me. You know, it's
the
like
bugs, are kind of goofy when they show the legs down, but that was tough.
But it's a creepy though, the sound they make, and then the story is like it's like a horror story.
Yeah,
in the mines and in the miners getting killed. I mean, that's scary stuff.
That's my thing. I wish they would have kept those bugs a little more in the dark.
Mm-hmm. Someone else said that. Yes,
you know what I mean. I like how they kind of look, but boy, once you get when you pull back a little bit and see them walking and stuff, that kind of,
well, they had
like that. You know. Yeah,
I know the technique. So you got to remember the techniques that they had.
I understand. I really understand that.
Let me ask you this. I'm gonna ask you this. Do you think if they was to I hope they never do, but if they do, hopefully it's done in Toho. If they were to remake Rodan, would you feel more compelled to it being R-rated? Because like in the original Rodan, with the scene in the mines where the miners are getting like pretty much chopped up.
Could go under that.
Would you want that
area? I don't know.
That could be an interesting way to do it.
I don't know if you need to go full on gore about it, but
making it a little more like you could add that suspense to it, and that would actually be a good counterbalance to the story of that's like you said, it's sad.
Yeah.
So. I mean, the story of Rodan's basically just, I mean, she was trying to protect, is that a male or a female?
There are two of them.
It's two of them.
There were two of them, that's right. And they're trying to protect
her. Hermaphroditic, I don't know.
There were two. They, again, like a Mothra thing, they kind of emerged.
They were brother-sister or sister-sister or brother-brother or whatever.
Right, yeah, something like they're siblings, so.
But they're just lost. They don't know where they're at.
Yeah, there's that tragic origin, just like Godzilla was awakened. Again, it's all through the hubris of people, and the mining is what did it. So again, we're talking about the human cause for these things, and it's the Shinto imagery is all there, the kami, the enraged gods. But that's totally what it is. These creatures wake up.
Atomic shockwave.
Yeah, and then the design of that. Of Rodan. I remember when I was a kid, I had an Aurora model kit of a pterodactyl. And I pretended that was Rodan because there was no Rodan models at the time. There was no Rodan toys. But I had a pterodactyl and that was close.
That's close enough.
That's right. Close enough for me.
But the original Rodan, I think, is by far the best of any of the
Yes.
Here's
another one. I'm not trying to take over you, Mark. I'm just asking this question. This is something I love. I mean, and I think Rodan did it first.
I'm sorry. My internet just went out.
Oh, no, you're back. Fuat, you're good.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, this is something I love about Super Raya at this time. The sequence where the water and everything, air gets in everything, you see these cave-ins, and land just falls down into whatever. He does this so brilliantly in Rodan. He does it again in Atragon, and I think he did it again.
Oh, the Mysterians too.
Yeah, Mysterians. Yes. I mean, I love those.
Oh, where the massive whatever landslides. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, sinkholes.
It's brilliant. I love how they do that. I'm not sure how they did it, but I know it's
Atragon is one I wish they had a little more money with.
It's got to be like compacted sand and things like that, I would think, and dirt because
if you look, you can see the rods come out. When they pull the rods out, so it like falls, but it's not bad. But if you're looking for them, you can see them. They're like, the dirt's falling.
And I have an eye for that stuff too. I'd be looking for that little mistakes. But yeah,
I think that was in the Mysterians. You could.
Yeah, Mysterians did it well too. I love that.
I love the Mysterians. That's another non-Godzilla one that I like.
Yes.
Harkening back to. Ghidorah, was that the first that the first time aliens are introduced, the Godzilla?
I think it was. I think the time we actually introduced to aliens in the mythos of Godzilla, because before it was just land animal, it was just earth based, and the Ghidorah was the original.
Well, was it because he's just from outer space, so he's not brought here by anyone.
Yeah, he's an alien, an extraterrestrial.
It's like, a Venusian ghost, right? Venusian ghost?
Something like
basically.
That.
Yeah.
And now that I think about it, he wasn't the original alien. I mean, I could say introduced to Godzilla, but Toho, this wasn't the first time we've introduced to aliens. We've had aliens.
No, the Mysterians. Right. No. Yeah, we had the Mysterians, and that was 1957, I think.
Yes,
57. And, but, when did and we had what was Battle in Space?
Battle in 59.
59.
Oh, man.
So,
I tried. I can't do
but that. But Ghidorah was not being controlled by aliens.
No.
He was just an alien himself.
No. It's an alien creature. I don't think the control was there. They just brought him down here to fuck things up. So
that's right. That's right.
Yeah. He was just, that's what he does. Yeah.
Right. There is an element of control in the next movie that we'll talk about, which I'm thinking.
Now, this is one of my comfort ones. I like this a lot.
Yes, this is one of my absolute favorite ones. So Invasion of Astro Monster, Dr. Tarr. It's your comfort food?
It's one of them. It was this because it was like, I remember this distinctly. It was like in the summer, real hot. You spend the whole day at the pool. Then you come home, it's like 9:50 would be like showing all these monster movies. This, War of the Gargantuas, and I also think it was the first time I saw Frankenstein Conquers the World, and they were all kind of made about the same time, too, and they had
mid-60s, that's right.
And anyway.
War of the Gargantuas was 1970.
Oh, man, that's one of my favorites.
It is... There are a couple shots that still scare me, that creep me out at the deepest level. One of my favorites, maybe the best non-Godzilla kaiju movie. I always loved this as a kid. And the shot that scares me, the two, I want to put it on a shirt because it's so creepy, is when the fishermen are out there and then they look down in the ocean and you see Gyra looking right up at him. I'm going to eat you. Yeah. And the scene where Gyra runs.
And it's the first time I was
in the airport
to the,
what is
to
like,
the super science weaponry too. And it
the Mazers.
I mean, well, they did that with Mysterians too, I guess, but it was still part of that. It's like, where'd this come from? But
the super science. But that scene where he runs out onto the tarmac with the jets, like, oh god, that is so creepy and effective, so creepy.
And just sheer city stomping. That was some of the. That was fun. That was just fun.
Oh yeah, that was like I say because that you get to because
and it wasn't Ray Blast or
you could see his eyes when he's doing the performance.
And I kind of like the suits. The suits were the shoulder pad things, and I really like the idea. I wish they would play up on this. I would love to see a remake of something like this. I wish they would play up the Frankenstein aspect of it. It was part of Frankenstein's heart and all that stuff, the monster, excuse me. But anyway, and growing into the two entities or whatever they are, But anyway.
Yeah.
Those are all fantastic. I do like those. And you see a consistent look in this era of Toho stuff. The mid-60s, I think, this is my favorite part. They really did. Yeah. And this is I love the Showa stuff. It's my favorite era of all of them. But there's something, and maybe because it's nostalgia, this is what I grew up looking at. But there is something so pleasant looking about these films. And, it just pulls
they
me
in
the socks every time. And I love the models, and I love knowing that they're models and how good they are. And I like knowing that these are sets, and it's perfectly fine with me. It doesn't ever interfere. But Invasion of the Astro Monster, or known in Godzilla versus Monster Zero, a couple years later, I think one of the absolute best of the franchise. And now we have Toho kind of replicating Universal's big three, when they had House of Dracula, House of Frankenstein with Dracula, the Wolfman, and Frankenstein. Now they have Godzilla, Mothra, and Rodan all together.
They have a stable.
This is their big three fighting off, King Ghidorah, and the set is great. I love Planet X. and the set.
The saucers. I love
the saucers. Yeah, the saucers, the looks. Yeah, the looks of the saucers.
And the optical effects at the time. To this day, that's when I was a little kid, the rays and all that stuff that they used, mm-hmm. that was so cool to me. That was you didn't see that in a lot of English movies. You know, when they did, think about it, you know, like when they did Martians Attacking or anything like that, they were mm-hmm. not, yeah, they just looked different. I thought they looked really neat. They kind of did that with in the Mysterians too, with that mm-hmm. animated rays and stuff like mm-hmm. that. But I think they hit their stride with this one though, and it just looks so cool.
They
had especially with the rays when they follow the, you know, they just don't, they're not static, they move, mm-hmm. and it was cool.
I know.
Now is this the one where, correct me if I'm wrong, where they all get kidnapped and taken to the other planet?
The monsters are taken by the Ixians. They find them to go help the premises. They go. They want to take the god the monsters to help fight against Ghidorah. Anyway.
That's right. This was probably the first Godzilla movie I ever saw, and it was on Saturday morning. Yeah.
Perfect.
I can't remember who it was. Saturday morning after cartoons, it would have been. Oh, Big Chuck.
Probably super host. Maybe
super host. No,
even better.
And I just remember like the set, like you said, I just wanted to like play on that set
mm-hmm.
with the space.
You when know, he's going down the hallway, you know, and they follow the light, they tell him to keep following the light mm-hmm. and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And you know, it was a simple hallway, but it looked cool with the fading of the light and stuff like that. And
that was very eerie.
The environment that the monsters fought in, I really liked that because it was, you know, it was different.
Yeah, it was pure 60s space stuff. I had a lot of space toys, and it was looked a lot like that stuff, mm-hmm. and it was so cool.
And how do y'all feel about the Godzilla's famous Tokyo Shay when he does that? I mean, I'm pretty sure you've heard the story. It's like wow.
They were getting sillier. Well, starting to get a little sense of humor working it way because there's a, you know, the idea is after you see a monster so many times, the monster's not scary. So that's why they make Godzilla a friend. But now they were kind of giving Godzilla more culturally recognizable clues. You know, here's this dance, here's this thing. You know,
it's so cute. Yeah,
it's kind of stands. It kind of sticks out to me like it doesn't belong. You know, in that environment, but. It doesn't bother me, but I just love the set so much. It's like watching Forbidden Planet. Like I just love watching that movie.
Going back to Ghidorah, though, too, they didn't need to be talking either. So,
Is this the one where he does the flying double kick?
No, that's Megalon.
That's Megalon. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, he does a little more believable fighting in this one.
This one they're on the like. It looks like a very like a lunar surface with
lunar surface
stalagmites and.
And Jupiter,
mountains, that and Jupiter's
beautiful painting of Jupiter.
Yeah, the mats. Yeah. It's just so gorgeous. The set. That's the only thing I like most about it. I mean, the look of this film. I love
and the little turrets that would come out. The little rays. Yeah, that was.
Everything kind of lights up. It's it's kind of beautiful. And then you have the mind control element when the creatures are released and show up on Earth to wreak havoc. You know, so now the Ixians are in control.
And they're supposed to take over the Earth, right? And all three of them are like right there next to each other in Japan with them. Mm-hmm. Okay, now spread out.
That's right.
You know what's funny? The whole mission was like not just take over the world, but they were low on water. You know, it's almost like it's a precursor to V where they needed water. But also food. I mean, they don't mention it in Astro much.
That's so stupid.
It's kind of weird. Well, I know it's kind of weird, but it's like,
And that's like, okay, if they're on fucking moon of Jupiter, you pretty sure there's a bunch of ice out there. But anyway,
ice. There's probably a lot of hydrogen.
That's about as stupid as the aliens from Sign coming to Earth. That's like 90%
water. No, we
don't
want to have to thaw it out. Like, come on. Yeah.
We don't have any heat like that.
Yeah, no heat. Everything's
we have
cold
light,
here.
Not heat.
Yeah.
Now you say that, it's like, wouldn't the water freeze in deep space, you know, unless they have some heaters on the ships that they...
Well, yeah, that's how they transport them. Apparently they have the power source, so they could be zipping, you know, almost to the speed of light back and forth. So yeah. Someone has a power source. Too. I don't think hot water is a problem.
Yeah. Because I'm saying they don't have the speed of light yet. So in fact, they don't have warp drive or the kind of...
Well, they're close.
Yeah.
They keep saying that. Oh, we're, you know, we make strides every day.
I mean, because like you say, they don't have the technology in Star Trek or in Star Wars. I'm like, y'all ain't there. I mean, y'all getting close, but y'all ain't there yet.
But they can move monsters between planets, though. So.
Well, you got to start small, you know.
True.
Move monsters around, and which then
was one of the coolest scenes too. Is when they pulled up Godzilla and Rodan, mm-hmm. when they put them in those electronic eggs or whatever.
They're like, mm-hmm. I was gonna say, they're like in embryo mode too. If you notice that,
yeah,
I
mean, yeah,
Godzilla had his tail, and then he's like, yeah.
And I loved when they used the ray gun to cut out Rodan from the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
That to me, that was one of the coolest scenes in that movie.
Yeah, it looks like that lightning coming down, and you see the eruption of the dirt, and it kind of
yeah,
makes
and they pull him out with a different ray, and it was just it's just cool.
Yeah, it's a great, and I like Tetsui. With that noisemaker. I mean, what the worst, the lady guard alarm, you know, and I love that saves the day, you know.
And I don't know if y'all remember this now, when he's in the house and I'm thinking that's his sister or they or whatever, you notice the baby when is on his, you know, her back. Now you notice that when he comes, when he comes up the stairs, you see an expression on the baby's face. But then when we cut back to the baby's kind of like, has no expression whatsoever.
This is landlady.
He's just like, what the fuck is this? You know, I was like, I mean, he just get, I'm like, look, I had to take my glass off really, but he's just like, no expression whatsoever. That's all he's getting. I'm like, geez, I mean, you still see all these bright lights, all these camera people in here. He's like, no, I'm not doing that.
Nah, man.
I'm like, that's probably one of the best acting infants I've ever seen on camera.
You know. Well, I think that's going to wrap up part one, kiddies. Part one of our Godzilla
talk. Didn't even talk about Nick Adams.
But we will on part two. We'll start with Nick Adams because we got some great stuff. But the words get stuck in my throat. Yes. You can find Heavy Metal Horror on unsaneradio.com. Listen to full episodes or download to your device. You can find us on Facebook, Heavy Metal Horror Podcast. On Instagram, look for Montag Lewis, one word. Our YouTube page, Heavy Metal Horror Podcast. If you're watching, that's where you're at. Don't forget to hit the like and subscribe button. And if you know someone who'd like our show, tell them about us. This has been Montag, Master of Illusion, and I will let everyone else do their own outros.
Okay. Like I say on my channel, I always say, y'all take care, y'all be patient, and always keep the kaiju love alive. There you go.
If you need any spooky masks or custom costumes for your next convention and or Halloween extravaganza, you can get a hold of me at Polaris Breach FX on Facebook and Instagram, and I pretty much can make anything you might be after.
Dr. Tarr.
And this is Dr. Tarr, and you've been listening to Unsane. Oh, sorry, wait. Heavy Metal Horror.
All right, guys, bring up the horns. This has been Heavy Metal.
This is also for Mesa Blast Women, by the way. Yes.
Okay. Excellent.
This is Doug Helvering, and you have been listening to Heavy Metal Horror, the best podcast that you've never heard before.